Okay. Radio Krishna. And I think I do like this. I can just relax. 101. And we are continuing the Srimad Bhagavatam verse 2 in the first. Starting with. We're now in Prabhupada's purport on paragraph 5. And yes, we are here getting a bit Vedantic. Prabhupada continues a bit more here, adding some weight to this text. I mean, his purports are weighty, they're not cheap, they're not flirting with some broad audience, but he's really getting down to it, and every sentence is quite rich, as people often wrote in the past, especially philosophical writings. So this knowledge that, which is not like monism or dualism, but well, this philosophy that we find here in the Bhagavatam, and that Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami here, Prabhupada, is talking about, is, as we mentioned, Veda Tattva. But it's interesting because there are four Vaishnava branches, main branches of Vaishnavism, the followers of, for instance, the Bhagavatam in India. And each one of them, well, they're independent like that. Each one of them has its own flavor of that philosophy. One is called, this is the one we're talking about here, from Chaitanya, from Gaudiya tradition, Veda Veda Tattva. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. And then there is anyway, we take those four. And he said that this monism, believing everything is just one and there's nothing more, it's incomplete, as is the idea of dualism, that there is a complete two, definite two between us and God, the world and God. God is just so remote, we can hardly relate to God. So what it means with this is that when you actually, this is not just some fine philosophy, oh, we found the truth here that we can announce to everyone, but he's talking further here that it's a transcendental consciousness that you develop here. It's not just an idea in the mind. And when you do that, then you are immediately, as he says, elevated to the plane or the platform where you are you're freed from the threefold miseries. And we spoke in the last episode about those. They were mentioned, or they are mentioned in this verse, that this Bhagavatam is there to free us from the threefold miseries. And I mentioned other miseries, the birth, death, old age, and disease. That's there are different ways of looking at it. These are actually Bahiranga Klesha and Antaranga Klesha and Daivyesh. Well, I'll look them up and describe them. So how can you get free from those by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding some philosophy there. But again, it's a transcendental consciousness, and that is what this Bhagavatam is bringing us to, the knowledge here in this scripture. And when we are on that consciousness, then we might still be here in this dreamy world. We're filled with illusions and darkness at places, light in other places. I mean, this up and down, upside down sometimes world. Well, it's like, I guess you could compare it to when you wake up in the dream and realize you're dreaming. You might still be there in that dream world and acting in it. But you are, you could say, transcendental to it. You know it's just a dream. So, again, I've been talking a lot about this cosmology of the Bhagavatam, that it's describing this cosmos as a dream. And that is really, I would say, what this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva means. Because it's the only way. Now let's get a little Vedantic again here, just before we leave that topic. As we said, if you if there will be total monism, everything is just a oneness, a divine light, then what is this that we are experiencing around us here? And they say it doesn't exist. As we spoke about last time, it's false. Because otherwise, if you don't get rid of it by saying it doesn't exist, then the question is, where did all this come from? What made that one perfect God, divine oneness, energy, whatever, how you want to picture it or not picture it, all of a sudden turn into all of this? Even suffering and being bewildered down here. So it just, as Prabhupada said, it doesn't make sense. And the same thing with dualism. There's God over there somewhere, and then there's this other world here with us in it, where we are lost forever, more or less, unless we can get salvation by joining some religion or believing in some Salvatore. It's a separation there, right? The spiritual over there in heaven or wherever, and here is the material, which is a real, factual, very heavy, actually a little beautiful here and there, but also ugly here and there, existence that God somewhere other than made and then went back to heaven again. And here we are, imprisoned or whatever. For what is the punishment, and why we, while others are angels in heaven forever together with God? So that also doesn't make sense. So it's a piece of logic and reason. It's all that is required, really. So Prabhupada, although it may sound a little heavy and hard to understand, then it's actually quite easy. But this Bheda Bheda Tattva means that, yes, everything is God. We are rays of God like that. And then this world we find, well, us and the world we find ourselves in, are God's energy like that. And it is of a dream nature. It exists, but as a dream, as an illusion, temporary. And then when you realize that, so it is, yeah, in a way, one and different with God at the same time. Just as you could say, our self that we experience out in our dream world at night, it's kind of an expansion of us in a way. We are there, but at the same time, that ego in there, that character, is not us. That form we have there, and the role we play there. So when you realize that, whoops, here I am, I thought this world was real, the reality, but now I know it's temporary, it's an illusion, it's a dream. So the real world is, I just forgot it, you know, but I'm in the real world, I'm just thinking I'm here. That in itself removes that threefold misery. And Prabhupada says, when you come to the insight of your real position as the servant of God, as a devotee of God, as a part of God like that, then you are free from all suffering. And also Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita that if you surrender to Krishna like that, surrender to God, put your life in God's hands, Krishna says, I will take care of you, I will provide what you lack and preserve what you have. Just as a parent takes care of the child when the child takes shelter of the parent. But if the child wants to run away and do it on his own, then, well, parent says, okay, try your best and may all luck be with you. So this bhakti, it kind of it includes mukti, moksha, but it goes then further. When you're released from prison, then what do? You go home and you go out and you live your life and have fun and enjoy yourself. Then we have the next paragraph here. Where Prabhupada mentions, as we said before, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is a personal commentary to the Vedanta Sutra. And the way we hear that this book came about was that Sri Vyasadeva, who wrote the Vedanta Sutra and many other of the Vedic scriptures, after he had finished Vedanta Sutra, which then would be the end of the Vedic knowledge, the conclusion of it, he still wasn't satisfied. So he went to his guru, to his teacher, Narada, at a mature age, as it is said here, asking, why am I not satisfied? And then he got this story. Called the Bhagavat Purana. So from that we can learn, right? I mean, said that he's basically has written all the Vedic literature. But still he recommends this one, the Srimad Bhagavatam, above anything else. Because it really goes to the essence there, it's transcendental. Path in all its glory. And again, the Bhagavatam starts with the story there spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to King Parikshit. Starts with Shukadeva describing how and teaching Parikshit, you should learn how to see God present in nature and present in everything, that this whole entire world is God, but at the same time, you know, and you are also, but at the same time, we are separate. We are individuals too, which makes it so much better. So, Prabhupada said here that the Supreme Lord is a total cosmic body. But then you have the devas, demigods, which are parts of that body, different parts. And when we look at these pictures of the Vishvarupa, Viratarupa, we see it that way, that there are all these representatives of God who, so to speak, represent different parts of the cosmic body like that. Just as we have organs in this body that do different parts of the work. And I guess actually they have, in these old cosmologies, a divinity there for each organ behind them, responsible for the functioning of those. Just as we have different technicians responsible for different parts of a building or a ship or some kind of vessel, which this body is. So Prabhupada says, when you turn directly, you don't worship these gods with little lowercase g. Those powers in nature here, because they are all also simply rays from the Supreme God, Bhagavan. So if you are devoted to Bhagavan, just, and it doesn't need to be something big, fantastic. And this is what this Bhagavatam is about, in the secret here, so to speak. That what it means is to just approach Bhagavan, God, with love and devotion. Personally, as a child approaches a loving parent. So then Prabhupada ends this paragraph saying that when you do this, the Supreme Lord will immediately become, or directly become, anchored in the heart of such a devotee, will just stay there, be there, always with you. And if you have God there in the heart, always with you as a friend and guide and master, in the sense of also protecting and taking care of you, then you have nothing to fear. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada knows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is, you could say, the founder of this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition that we are in here, from West Bengal in India, has explained that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, Amala Purana, and that it stands there, you could say, above or a little different from all the other Puranas. Next paragraph, what is it, 7 or something? So what is, how shall we understand this book? How shall we read this book? This is where we are now. We are finding ourselves in the very beginning of this huge work here, actually. A whole pile of books. And this thick volume is the first one only. Do we have to stuff a whole lot of things in there, into our minds and brains, and learn a lot of things by heart and study things academically and become experts in all the little details? Well, Prabhupada says here that the right way to receive this transcendental message is by listening humbly. And the word here is used is, in this verse here, susrusho, which means cultivating. And again, it's not about intellectually understanding theories and all that, but listening humbly with this understanding that we call Shastra Chakshu, that when you do that, you are being shown the transcendental reality. Your consciousness will be lifted into a higher level of perceiving and understanding and seeing yourself and the world. So Prabhupada said that a sincere desire to listen is the most important, that first of all is needed. And he said, yeah, you should, not a challenging attitude. Of course, we are critical-minded people, so we should do that, check facts and think about it. But again, when you're at this level here of reading, starting to read the Bhagavatam, you are supposed to, and expected to, you could say, to have got all that intellectual level clear and worked out. This is the next step, you could say. I like this word, susrusho. Cultivating in the heart. Again, cultivating your Krishna consciousness there in the heart, and that's when you will experience God being present there in your heart and leading and guiding. And then Prabhupada said, yeah, there are some unfortunate people who are not interested in listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's easy, actually, to listen to it, but at the same time, it's difficult. And yes, as he says, that there are people who take their time to listen to all kinds of political discussions and social stuff and sometimes meaningless talks. But then when they are invited to listen to this Bhagavatam, they all of a sudden are not interested, resistant. I guess that's what you find in India, because this Bhagavatam is more famous, of course, in India. And then there are professional readers of the Bhagavatam, which kind of skip all the way to the 10th canto, which is the end of the Bhagavatam, reading these confidential stories about Krishna's pastimes, which they then take as some kind of sexual literature, and this way it gets attractive and they attract an audience. And but Prabhupada says this book is meant to be read from the beginning, which kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because all that is going through, all these 9 first cantos, are gradually leading up so one can understand that the 10th canto there, these pastimes, these loving dealings with Krishna and his devotees, are the reality that we find here upside down, reflected in, for instance, material sex and all that. So it's pretty deep stuff, this. And it even says here then, Prabhupada said that in this verse, it says which persons are able to actually understand and take advantage of this work. And it says you are ready to do that after having performed many pious activities. But then he says something interesting here, that an intelligent, considerate person has even been assured by Vyasadeva that she can directly realize God by listening to the Bhagavatam. Even though one may not have gone through all these different stages of spiritual advancement, gradual, that you find there given in the Vedic knowledge, but you can immediately be lifted up to the Paramahamsa state, which is really a high, high level of spiritual insight and awareness, by simply humbly listening to this Bhagavatam. And it's quite amazing what he's saying here. And again, that's what this verse has been talking about, that this is a different kind of knowledge. If you just listen to it humbly, this knowledge, I mean, not just listening without understanding, but of course trying to understand as well as you can. But then that understanding, even though you may not understand the whole thousands of verses, all of them, but what is being said, it kind of sinks in and opens up our awareness of, this is who I am, this is what the world is, this is... Yes, God is present everywhere and in my heart. And again, it's like it opens up through this reading a window to a higher reality, to the reality. And, well, that's how it is described here in this verse and in Prabhupada's purport to it. So... let's continue with this Bhagavatam a bit more, because, well, I will come back to it regularly here, because although it's not really Bhakti Yoga for beginners, but for postgraduates or something, that Prabhupada used to say, this, the end of this purport also, he gives us hope that even though we have not gone through all these levels of religious piety and, you know, karma yoga and then jnana yoga, being top philosophers and all of those, or upasana, having gone through all the liturgy and all these ceremonial functions, learning all the yagyas and the pujas and all of that, just reading this Bhagavatam, yes, even listening to when someone here reads it and tries to explain it, but then best is you read it yourself. And I want to put a link here to where you can order it. I still don't know. No one has given me a website where you can order the Bhagavatam in Swedish, but that will come.